Okay, well, let's do remember all those that are traveling right now for weddings and graduations. Continue to pray for the Mulders in a time of sorrow. Okay, any others? I remember Corey this morning, her health needs there. Okay, and Brother Johnson, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir?
Ourselves together and worship you in spirit and truth here this morning and fellowship one with another. And just the time we have to start the week off with you, Father, and to separate ourselves from the world and those activities, Father, that we have to do during the week. And so we're thankful for that. We're thankful for the freedoms that we have in this country, Father, and we again pray for the leaders of our country that you would get a hold of their hearts, Father, and may they see their need for Christ before it's too late. And I do pray, Father, that they would rule this country according to your word and not their wisdom and understanding of things. So, Father, will you ask that you bless this time that we open your word and look into it. May our hearts be prepared to receive what it is you have for us here this morning, Father. And we think of all those that aren't able to be here today that are traveling and they have other places to go this morning, Father, that you would just keep each one safe, place a hedge of protection about each one, and bless their time while they're away, encourage their hearts, Father, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. And verse 1. Romans 5, verse 1. And let's see. I don't know if we're going to have anybody running the computer. Thank you, sir. I thought it'd be good if we could just say these two verses together, Romans 5, verses 1 and 2. And I thought we could do that a few times through as we think about these verses. So why don't we do that? I'll say the reference, and if we can go through these verses twice. Romans 5, 1 and 2. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Romans 5, 1 and 2. Romans 5, 1 and 2. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Romans 5, 1 and 2. Romans 5, 1 and 2. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Romans 5, 1 and 2. Well, how do we have peace with God? You just stop and think, not only we're going to look at this in a moment, but having peace with God will be eternally with Him. And that is more hardly than we can comprehend, is to be with our Savior for all of eternity. And the joy of that versus the suffering of hellfire. But just stop with me and think. Imagine that you are not saved right now in life. And imagine you hadn't been saved for many years. How would your life differ? How would my life differ? The older I get, the more I appreciate just the peace of God in life. Not just for eternity, but in life right now. There was a Corvette somewhere this week I saw, and I've just been kind of noticing how it seems like every Corvette I see is driven by some gray or white-haired man. Back versus when I was young, it seems like it was all young guys that were in the Corvettes. And now, I guess it's probably because the younger people can't afford them, I only assume. I don't know. And then I saw like a 60s classic car with a big hood scoop on it coming toward me. And guess who was driving that? A white-haired man with a full white beard. And those were the kind of cars that, as I said, like teenagers used to drive, maybe early 20s, but now. And it just makes me think. And, you know, if your thing is classic cars or classic tractors or classic anything, you know, that's fine if you have a hobby and, you know, you like to do something. But sometimes I get to thinking about back in the 60s, and then I see someone in their, well, that was the 1960s, but now I see them in their 60s or 70s or so, and they're out tooling the town with those classic cars. And I think about it, you notice someone driving a car like that, and their eyes are not just on the road. Where do you think their eyes are? They're looking to see if anyone's looking at them. Now, just imagine in our lives that was our only way to find pleasure. As if we were out with something classic that people would be looking at us. Aren't you glad there's more to life than that? Oh, what a blessing. That we can please God, that we can have peace with God, and that for activity we don't have to go out and see if we can get anybody to look at us. What an emptiness of life. So the older I get, the more I appreciate just knowing Christ and having His peace and His purpose in life and not having to please man. Because man can't be pleased. It just reminds me of the whole tattoo scene. Man cannot be pleased. One tattoo is never enough. It's just more and more and more. Why would people do that? Why would people tattoo their bodies and cover their bodies? Well, it can only be so people will look at them. I mean, why else would you get a tattoo? A lot of people tattoo. I don't know how many I've seen just last week. People tattoo the back of their neck. Well, it's kind of hard to see the back of your neck, isn't it? So I assume that the only reason someone would tattoo the back of their neck is for someone else to see. What an empty life. What an empty life. Well, praise God we don't have to live that way. But in verse 1, once again, therefore being justified by what? Faith. By faith. We have what? Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Imagine what this world would be like if everyone had peace with God. There'd be no war with Russia and Ukraine. There'd be no abortion. There wouldn't be any North Korea launching missiles. If everyone had peace with God, how different it would be. And back to the matter of not only when we have peace with God do we have eternity with Him, but we think about it. Just listen to conversations in life that people are talking. I was in a hardware store this week looking at some things, and I was listening to an employee and a customer on the other side of the aisle that didn't know I was on the other side listening. That wasn't my purpose on that aisle, was to listen to them, but it was just, they were talking loud, and so they were talking. The employee was talking about going into another store in this area, and it came to it like 1 or 2 minutes before closing time, and the people of that store, the guy was just coming to lock the door, and it was still like a couple minutes they were supposed to be open, and the guy was locking the store. And so he come up to the door, and the employee from the inside said, "Sorry, we're closed. Come back tomorrow." And he said, "I just needed something real quick." The guy didn't care. And so this employee was saying, "Wow, you know, I've stayed over, you know, quite a while, half hour sometimes, just trying to help people here. And I know I've been there at the last minute many times, and they do. They are willing to stay over if need be. But there was just kind of the complaining going back and forth. And I tell you, people in this world, you know, they have filthy language. And, I mean, they're just mad. You know, the world is mad. And aren't you thankful we can have the peace of God? So what does it mean to be justified? Now, if you hold your place here, let's go to Luke 18. Luke 18. You know, we throw around these terms a lot in the church and as Christians. But, you know, there's probably a lot of people that have no clue. What do you mean justified? Well, they might have an idea. Well, justified, excused. You know, I feel justified in what I did. It's kind of like, I feel excused for what I did. Is that what biblical justification is? Well, Luke 18 in verse 9. Luke 18, 9. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, what? Be merciful to me, what? A sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house, what? Justified, rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. So, you say, well, okay, well, how do we get a definition out of this for justification? Well, if you go back to verse 9, Jesus was speaking here, and he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were what? Righteous and despised others. So he's giving us an example of what it means to be righteous. So to be justified means to be made righteous. Because he goes on to say, verse 14, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified. So he's explaining what it means to be made righteous from verse 9. So to be justified with God, though, is not just a comparison example. It's not like, well, you know, how good a gas mileage does your car get? Well, mine gets this. Or not a comparison of anything. You know, I bought this week for this. Isn't that quite a deal? Oh, yes. Wow, I've never seen it for that price. So this comparison that mankind goes through, you know, well, I got this deal. What if, you know, you paid that? I think my wife was just saying the Pyatt said gas over in Wisconsin is like $4.60-something. So that's what we have to look forward to tomorrow morning when we head back to Greenville. And I think I paid, last night I filled up with a Meijer card, I think it was like $4.12. I don't know if Meijer's gas sign is broke or if it's just the price that they don't want you to know. It's so high right now. Huh? I haven't quite figured that out. Since the price went way up, their sign doesn't seem to be working too often. So I don't know. There's a lot of digital signs broken in town right now, if you haven't noticed or not. So that's what we have to look forward to anyway, high gas prices. Or but being justified with God is not a comparison thing like, oh, you know, well, you're better than me in this area. So, you know, can I outdo you in another area? That's not what it means to be justified with God. We have to be totally righteous to be justified with God. Notice in Romans 3, Romans 3 and verse 19. The Bible says, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be what? Stopped. And all the world may become what? Guilty before God. And what does that? The law. The law. Verse 20, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be what? Justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the what? The righteousness of God. So we're talking about justification. So when we throw around that term, justification, it doesn't just mean good in a comparative sense. Justified means righteous before God. The righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even what? The righteousness of God. The righteousness of God. So you see, justification is the righteousness of God. Well, how righteous is God? He's perfect. That's what we need to be declared to go to heaven. We need to be declared perfect. Even the righteousness of God, which is by what?
Faith.
Faith. By faith of Jesus Christ. Unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Being what?
Justified
freely by His grace. Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in what? His blood. To declare what? His righteousness. For what? The remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. So, verse 25 again, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood. To declare His righteousness for the remission of sin. So we're talking about, when we're talking about being justified, having peace with God, we're talking about being made totally righteous. Now this is what we are declared to be before God. That's our position before God. And our challenge is to live according to that position. And that is where we come so short, verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we're just over and over here. Verse 21, the righteousness of God. Verse 22, even the righteousness of God. Verse 25, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past. So over and over here too, it goes back in verse 21, but now the righteousness of God without the law. Verse 22, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Christ, of Jesus Christ. Verse 24, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So being justified is not any work of us. It's Jesus' righteousness being applied to us through faith in His blood, faith in His sacrifice on the cross. If you go to chapter 5, Romans 5 and verse 8, Romans 5, 8. But God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now what?
Justified
by what? His blood. We shall be what?
Saved
from wrath through Him. So, justified. There's only one way to be justified. There's only one way to be declared righteous. Not just pretty good, you know. I don't know how you responded today. Someone come in and said, how you doing today? Oh, pretty good. Or fine. Or you might have said, so-so. Or you might have said, I'm tired. How are you doing today? So being justified is not so-so. It's being made perfect through the blood of Jesus Christ. So now, what sins are capable of such? What sins are capable of being totally justified, totally made righteous? Well, let's go to 1 Corinthians 6. Years ago, a lady visited the church, many years ago, and her husband was not saved. He had cancer. Brother Jim and I went and talked to him. And he said, we went through the gospel with him, and he said, I did some things in my past, and he says, I don't think God would ever save me. He really seriously thought he had been too bad, and he just thought there was no use in even looking into it, getting saved, because he just figured God would never save him because of what he'd done in his past. So I believe we went to this passage as one of them with him at 1 Corinthians 6:9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall what? Not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall what? Inherit the kingdom of God. All those lists of sins, these people were not going. But verse 11, and such what? Were some of you. So we're talking past tense. Paul is, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is writing this to the Corinthian people. And the Corinth was a wicked, wicked city. In their religious practices, they were practiced vile sodomy. And I mean, it was bad, really bad in Corinth. And he said, such were some of you. Past tense. But ye are what? Washed. But ye are what? Sanctified. And here it comes. But ye are what? Justified. We've looked at that. Being justified is not a comparison. It's like, yeah, you Corinthians are pretty good, you know, compared with the Ephesians. Or especially compared to the people in Laodicea. Oh, wow, they are really bad. You Corinthians are pretty good. No, that's not what he said. He said, such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So we've seen from all these verses, being justified is being made the righteousness of Christ. How? We've seen it over and over in these verses, by faith in Jesus Christ. How could that be? We've seen it over and over through His blood. It's His blood that cleanses us. It's not baptism. It's not good works. It's not church membership. It's not joining this and joining that. It's through Jesus, faith in Jesus and through His blood. That is how we are made totally clean. You know, we try so many different things. When we used to get stains on the carpet, you know, I'd haul out some carpet cleaner, some stain killer. And I talked to a carpet cleaning guy once, and he said, don't get out that. You know, it could discolor your carpet. Whenever you get out, even carpet soap, he says, the problem is if you don't get all that soap out, it's going to leave a residue. And when you walk over that spot, it's going to get dirty quick again. I mean, that very spot. And so you can take the carpet cleaning soap and you can scrub it and the stain is gone. And then you get a crowd of people walking over that same spot and it comes back. And you thought, oh, must be that spot never come out. I don't know. I thought it looked clean, but that same spot is back. Not realizing that when we add anything to it, it leaves a residue that picks up dirt. It's like a dirt magnet then. And he said this to me. He said, always use water. Just use water. Because water doesn't leave a residue. If you can clean that stain with water, it won't come back. I mean, that very spot will not come back. And so sometimes we've had stains out here from the last fellowship. I don't know if it was, well, it could have been Wednesday night, it could have been Sunday night, I'm not sure. But anyway, there was a spot right out there, really dark, and I don't know, it looked like barbecue sauce or something of that color. It was dark. And so I thought, well, I'm going to just try water. And just scrubbed it with water, and it come out. So Lord willing, I won't see that spot right there again. And so when we think of sin stains, there's one thing needed. And what is it? The blood of Jesus Christ. That's what will take away that sin stain, and there's no residue. People, they try all kinds of things. They try all kinds of Alcoholics Anonymous, or there's all kinds of very similar programs, and these things keep popping back up. What is needed is the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse us on the inside and the outside. That's what is needed. And so he said, such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Let's go back to Romans 5:1 there. Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Once again, I can't imagine what it would be like, not just for eternity, to not have peace with God, because that would be in the lake of fire then forever. But I mean, I can't imagine what it would be like walking through life with no peace with God. I can't imagine what that would be like. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice with me in Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah 26. I had a bulb on the front of our van that burned out. And there's the headlight, and then there's an inner light inside of that, and smaller in diameter. And when the van's just running, like in the daytime, those inner lights are on, like dim. And I went into one of them burned out. And so I went into the auto parts place, probably a few weeks ago now. And I said to him, I've got this, I just called it a running light. I said, those lights are on during the daytime. But I said, it's not the headlight, because at night you turn the headlights on and the outer lights come on. And so he looked in his book and he said, I don't know what that light is. I don't know. And I said, I don't know what to call it other than a running light. So he did not know. And so I left without a bulb. And so I think I was in the garage later at night anyway, and I turned on the light, the lights again, and then I turned on bright. And those lights that are dim during the day, when you turn on the brights, those little round bulbs become the bright lights on the van. So I went back to the store probably a week later and said, I need a set of bright lights, headlights, high beam lights for the van. So I got them, and like typical, I wait to do something like that, you know, the night before we have to go somewhere. So last night, I'm thinking this is no problem, you know, just change those bulbs out. And our other van, you know, had a couple bolts, and like the whole headlight assembly just slides out, change the bulb, slide it back in. So this looked similar. I took out a bolt, didn't budge. So I go in on the computer, YouTube, and it says, okay, well, you've got to remove this whole air cleaner assembly, this big box thing. And so there's hard to get two screws. And so I had to, and then I found other bolts, and I had to pull out this whole big boxy contraption and set it aside. And then you got to reach way back in there. And I don't know. My hands are not that big, but I don't know how anybody with a big hand would ever get it back in there. And you can't see. There's like a little tiny crack trying to show a light down through there to see what you're even doing. And you have to press these wire terminal clips to get them to go out, and there's hardly room to move your hand. So what was supposed to be a simple little job turned into quite an ordeal just to change those bulbs that night. And so I'm just praying, Lord, please help me with this. A little simple task can become so difficult. And so in Isaiah 26:3, thou wilt keep him in what?
Perfect
peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. And I'm just so thankful that even when we have situations like that, we can pray and God can help us. Without his help, I'd still be working on it yet this morning. Perfect peace. And I just think that is something that this world doesn't have. I mean, we're talking to them constantly about heaven. You know, wouldn't you like to know for sure you're going to heaven? But even right now, wouldn't you like to have peace? In closing, let's go to Isaiah 57. Isaiah 57:20. Isaiah 57:20 says, but the wicked are like what?
The troubled sea.
When it cannot rest, whose waters cast up what?
Mire and dirt.
Have you ever stood on Lake Michigan and just maybe barefoot on the sand and just see how much sand each wave moves? It's amazing. The wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is what?
No
peace, saith my God, to the wicked. So this morning, oh my, we can rejoice this morning because by faith in Jesus Christ, we are justified. We don't have to make excuses for our past sin. We have no excuse for our past sin. But we can rejoice in that when we, by faith, trust in Jesus Christ, that his blood makes us totally righteous. There's no sin that cannot be forgiven. So we can rejoice this morning that we are justified, not comparatively with each other, but with God. We can have the peace of God because he has given us his righteousness through his blood. And then so we can have peace. Not just for eternity, but right now. I wish I could get that across to people in this world. You hear them talk. You know they're not happy. They're always angry about something. They could have the peace of God. They wouldn't have to walk through life like the angry waves of the sea. They could have the peace that passes all understanding. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for justification. We thank you for being made the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ and his shed blood. Lord, we thank you for eternity. We thank you that we shall dwell with you forevermore. But Lord, we also thank you for the life of peace that you now give, that we can have peace and purpose in life, and that we don't have to walk around angry, but we can walk around at peace. So Lord, please use us. Please, Lord, we're praying for revival. Please help us. Help lost sinners all around us, Lord, to realize they're not happy. They have no peace. Lord, I pray that by your grace they could see something different in us. that they could see a peace. Lord, you've declared us righteous. Now, Lord, help us to walk accordingly so that they will see the light of Christ through us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord bless you. Next service start about 7-8 minutes.